Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Bunch going on that, you know, y'all need to know about. Seth Abramson just tweeted, Adam Schiff warned America that Trump might do with China, agreeing to a clandestine deal to get dirt on Biden, not just inviting but accepting foreign election interference. What he tried to do in Ukraine, the problem he already did. He's referencing an article in CNN, and you can find this, you know, you can Google this or DuckDuckGo it. October 3rd, 2019, October 3rd of last year, about 3 months ago. The headline is Trump raised Biden with Xi, X-I, you know, the president of China, in June call housed in highly secure server. And this is by Kyle Atwood, Kevin Liptak, Pamela Brown, Jim Sudo, and Gloria Borger. They write, when Trump suggested without prompting that China should investigate Joe Biden and his son, you recall that was one of those, you know, helicopter things out in front of the White House. That wasn't the first time. During a phone call in June, now we're going back 7 months, phone call in June, on June 18th with President Xi of China, Trump raised Biden's political prospects as well as those of Senator Elizabeth Warren. Trump told Xi that he would remain quiet on the Hong Kong protests as the trade talks were moving along. So he's trying to cut a deal with Xi. We will stab in the back the people who are calling for democracy in Hong Kong in exchange for you helping us economically so that I can look good and get reelected. That call was later stored in that highly secure electronic system, air-gapped electronic system in the White House, where he also stashed the conversation with President Zelensky, this 20-minute conversation that we've got a 10-minute transcript of. And again, from the article, Trump's reluctance over the summer to speak out against a crackdown against pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong has frustrated officials at the National Security Council and State Department, who had been advocating a firmer U.S. stance. So again, like I said, Trump is willing to sell out democracy in exchange for something that's going to make him look good. But it goes way beyond that. Some of the president's advisors, now this, keep in mind, this was in October that this was published. CNN published this article. Some of the president's advisors say they believe China is watching the Democratic primary closely. On several occasions, Trump has intimated that the Bidens received millions of dollars from China. And at fundraisers and sometimes in his rallies, he said this. And what he's talking about is back in 2013, Joe Biden, as vice president, made a trip to China, and his son Hunter and his son's either wife or daughter went along with him to Beijing. And his son Hunter was a member of, has a 10% interest in BHR Partners, a private equity fund. And the Chinese government, their Bank of China, had invested in that. This is what Trump is talking about. There, a bunch of money went into this fund, apparently after the trip. But Hunter has come right out and said, I've received no money from that fund or in connection with this role, with my role as an unpaid advisory board member. CNN goes on to say there's no evidence the former vice president received money from China. And last week, one of Hunter Biden's lawyers told the Washington Post that he hadn't received any, quote, return or compensation on account of this investment or his position on the board of directors, end quote. But Mike Pence came out and said
The president has made it very clear that he believes that other nations around the world should look into this as well.
This being Joe Biden. This is Pence.
The simple fact is, when you hold the second highest office in the land, it comes with unique responsibilities, not just to be above impropriety, but to be above the appearance of impropriety.
And then this is where it gets really interesting. CNN reported last October, 3 months ago, and I quote, "Privately, Trump has been telling allies he believes Hunter Biden's activities in China are potentially far more damaging than his business in Ukraine." At a private event in New York City, Trump, speaking of Hunter Biden in Ukraine, he says, "That's not the best one. Best one is China." Now, this is kind of ironic, given that when President Xi came over here and hung out with Trump at Mar-a-Lago, he brought with him a bunch of trademarks for Ivanka Trump. Right? Ivanka Trump has made millions of dollars in China, is continuing to make money in China, and even got a trademark or a patent for voting machines in China, for goodness sakes. But this causes me to think that if Joe Biden is our candidate, if he's the guy who gets the Democratic Party's nomination, and let's say Ukraine is completely put to bed, this whole impeachment thing is so well done by the Democrats that nobody thinks that Hunter Biden was, that it was improper or that Joe Biden had any improper influence or anything like that, Trump is going to trot out China. And he's signaling right now that that's his plan. This is his October surprise plan if Joe Biden is the nominee. And he's also talked to President Xi about Elizabeth Warren. And this was back when she was really climbing in the polls very rapidly, back about 3 months ago. So I think we're starting to see the outline of the Trump smear campaign. And China's having a real problem right now with this Wuhan coronavirus outbreak. They've now extended. Yesterday, I told you that 20 million people were quarantined, essentially. Now it's 36 million. And the death toll has just about doubled. And the latest death that's being widely publicized, I mentioned yesterday, it was mostly older men who were in bad health. This was a young man in his 30s who was in excellent health, and he just died of it. So, the world is starting to take notice, and there's even concern. There's a fascinating piece in the Financial Times today that it's already affecting the Chinese stock market, and it might start affecting world stock markets. In fact, it may have already started yesterday or the day before. So, a lot going on. The senator gave a speech. I was amazed. I was listening to it. Louise and I were running errands, and I was listening to it on the radio. He actually called Mitch McConnell's, he said it was Mitch McConnell's scheme. That's like, really? Cool. But just two things that he said about this, and I want to toss one of these as a question out to you. He said, this is the first time probably a majority of Republicans have heard the whole case start to finish. And what he's talking about is the fact that these Republican members of the House and Senate, they know that Fox News is basically their echo chamber, and so they don't watch CNN, they don't watch MSNBC. They watch Fox all the time, just like Trump does. So Schumer goes on to say, many of them hear it on Fox News, and we know what Fox News does. They leave out the most damning parts against the president, and they even distort some of them, which is absolutely true. I mean, if you want, for example, you want Russian propaganda, forget about RT, go to Fox News. I mean, this is where it is. So anyhow, Schumer said, by the way, and people forget this, the Republicans could call Hunter Biden on their own. They have 53 votes. You know why they don't? Because they know it will just confirm to every American that everything the president is doing and has done in this whole sad saga, everything the president's lawyers are doing, everything the Republican senators are doing is just political. Wow. Talk about taking names and kicking ass. So, we'll see. And which raises the question, should Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, for that matter, come to the Senate and testify? And I think they should. I absolutely think they should. If they don't, Trump has thrown so much of this crap at Joe and Hunter Biden that it's essentially all over the lens. Whenever there's a discussion of Joe Biden's candidacy and presidency, you can guarantee if Joe Biden becomes this party's nominee, which is, I think, looking increasingly less likely, but we'll see. But if he becomes this party's nominee, that's going to be the thing that the Republicans go after him with. I mean, Trump has turned Ukraine for Joe Biden into the equivalent of, you know, Hillary Clinton's emails, which, you know, of course, we know Jim Comey came out and announced the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails, and she dropped 3 points in the polls. And that was 2 weeks before the election. So Trump is going to do the same thing. Why not get ahead of it? Why not just, you know, in open court, as it were, before the United States Senate, simply say, well, here's what happened. Have Hunter Biden tell his story about why he went on the board of Burisma. Have Hunter Biden explain what he did on the board of Burisma and whether it was him who was compensated or whether it was his law firm and how much of that money passed through, and whether he considered it appropriate that probably the main reason he was on was because his dad was vice president. I think that that just needs to be laid out there. And he may well come out and say, you know, I really shouldn't have done that, but it has nothing to do with my dad. I mean, that's what we've been told he would say. And then Joe Biden can go before Congress and, you know, if what he would say under oath is the same thing that he's been saying privately and publicly, and that is that, you know, his kids are adults, they're grown up, they're out in the world making their way, and he has an agreement with them that, you know, they're not going to tell each other what to do in their lives. So I think it would actually work to Joe Biden's benefit. Peggy Noonan wrote an op-ed that was published, I believe, in the Washington Post. And Peggy Noonan, you know, a Republican op-ed writer, in which she's saying the same thing, which is not conventional wisdom on the GOP side, by the way. They keep talking about wanting Hunter Biden to testify, but they actually don't want Hunter Biden to testify. If they did, they would have simply subpoenaed him. They got 53 votes, as Chuck Schumer just said. They could do it. Easy. Take 2 minutes. They could do it over the objection of every Democrat. You know, this so-called deal that everybody's talking about. Yes, we get to interrogate Mick Mulvaney and John Bolton, and you get to interrogate Joe and Hunter Biden. I think it will work to the advantage of the House managers of the impeachment of Trump and to the disadvantage of Trump himself. In other news, just a few other things going on that I just wanted to flag for you. Donald Trump, according to CBS News, has threatened Republican senators that if they don't vote for him to be acquitted, or at least not to be prosecuted, not to be removed from office, that their heads will be on a pike. Pike, of course, is kind of a big stake or a stick, you know, with a sharp end. And, you know, this is something that they used to do hundreds of years ago. But I would note, as Matt McDermott did in a Twitter response, that threatening a juror with physical violence is a felony. Jennifer Rubin tweets, this is the mob president. This is why I keep saying it's going to be all or nothing. And not necessarily all. But if a critical threshold of Republicans, and the start of this would be voting for witnesses and documents, if a critical threshold of Republicans start voting in a way that moves toward impeachment, then the majority of the Republicans are going to be faced with two simple choices. And this is one of the most binary choices in the history of politics. It's all or nothing. And that is, either they vote to acquit Trump and they continue with the Stonewall, or they vote to remove Trump and 20 of them at least join the stampede and Trump is removed from office. Which, frankly, and don't tell any Republicans this, would probably be the best thing they could do looking at the 2020 election. Because while there's lots of people across the country who just for whom Trump evokes a boiling rage, particularly women, most people are not all that familiar with Mike Pence. Now, Mike Pence's history and politics are actually more extreme than Trump when it comes to things like LGBTQ rights, abortion, the so-called social issues. But people don't know that. And Pence would just, you know, he would run as kind of the white bread Republican. He would reinvent himself as Mitt Romney. And frankly, if the nominee of the party is, particularly if it's Bernie Sanders with the, quote, socialist label attached to him, I believe that Bernie could beat Pence. but I think he could far more easily beat Trump. And you have to wonder if Republicans are making that equation, particularly as Bernie is going up in the polls right now, as Biden has been going down. So, you know, we'll see where this goes. Final bit of Trump news, Steve Mnuchin, the foreclosure king was his title when he lived in California, was running, I think it was One Bank or West Bank or whatever it was. He was running a bank in California. He foreclosed on thousands of people. He threw thousands of Americans out of their homes, apparently gleefully. And apparently illegally, you know, with these robo-assigning eviction notices. And Kamala Harris had him in the crosshairs, you know, the California Attorney General's office when she was AG. This is, you know, back in 2000, whatever it was, 9, 10, 11. She was seriously considering prosecuting him and ultimately decided not to. And frankly, I think that was very unfortunate. She should have prosecuted him. But this guy who is, you know, a serial criminal, Steve Mnuchin, is now our Treasury Secretary. So, you know, Greta Thunberg came before Davos. Mnuchin was there. I don't know if he was in the audience, but he certainly knew what was happening. And she said, you guys need to take action. First of all, she said, you rich people need to divest yourself of fossil fuels. And secondly, she said, you need to take action to save the climate and act as if your children and grandchildren's lives were at stake, because they are. So this complete ass, Steve Mnuchin, comes along and says, is she the chief economist? Who is she? I'm confused. Maybe after she goes to college and studies economics in college, she can come back and explain that to us. What a fool. And Greta Thunberg replies on Twitter, my gap year ends in August, but it doesn't take a college degree in economics to realize that our remaining 1.5 degree carbon budget and ongoing fossil fuel subsidies and investments don't add up. So either you tell us how to achieve this mitigation or explain to future generations and those already affected by climate emergency why we should abandon our climate commitments. Trump, of course, tweeted, so ridiculous, Greta must work on her anger management problem and then go to a good old-fashioned movie. This is bizarre. Mike in La Mita, California, listening on KPFK. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I was getting very depressed about the all those senators violating their constitutional oaths by trying to, you know, just cover up this whole thing. But then I got to thinking about a couple of other things that give me a little bit of optimism for the future. One is that you notice that when Jay Sekulow was complaining about lawyer lawsuits, and that was because somebody misheard.
It was FOIA, Val Demings. She had mentioned FOIA lawsuits, and he thought she was saying lawyer. He completely misunderstood her.
No, I don't think he did. I think Trump was following, and Trump is giving detailed orders to his defenders, the mark of a really stupid person. And I think that eventually the stupidity of the defense is going to become so egregious that it pops the Foxagana bubble and starts to leak out to the hardcore Trumpsters. I think that's one of the things that's going to be influencing the 2020 senatorial elections, if we have any.
Rupert Murdoch, Mike, Rupert Murdoch has a 20-year history in Australia, in the United Kingdom, and now in the United States. There are, you know, actually more like a 30 or 40-year history of, you know, peddling lies. Peddling
that's
lies
true.
To benefit the billionaire class, period, full stop. He's not going to stop. Fox isn't going to stop.
Well, we're not going to say that they're going to stop or that the Republican senators are going to suddenly turn honest.
Right.
What I'm saying is that it's going to be such a newsworthy and noteworthy absurdity that it's going to break through even to people who are Foxaholics.
I think that's happening in a small way, and it's happening for the people who watch Fox a lot but don't watch it exclusively. But I would be surprised if that is happening at all with people who watch Fox exclusively. When you see Trump tweeting complaints about Fox, then you'll know that, you know, that this has happened. When he goes to nothing but One American News or one of these other right-wing web-based so-called TV networks.
Be that as it may, I'm saying it's a sizable portion of Trump's supporters might be peeling away over time as this becomes a little too obvious and too pervasive.
Oh, I agree. And I think that, you know, in the last 3 years, you've seen the number of people who are registered as Republicans or who identify as Republicans in the polls, while Trump's support remains strong, the number of people who actually call themselves Republicans has been declining. And I think that's a symptom of what you're talking about. And I don't think it's just this impeachment thing. I mean, you know, this is people who have been, they're Republicans in the mold of my dad, you know, the old Eisenhower Republicans. Our friend who is the moose herder guy, you know, who calls in.
It's, quite so.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, one of the things that's going to be coming out in very sharp relief is that the U.S. government is now in the position of exporting corruption abroad under this administration.
By example, if nothing else, yes.
No, by demanding that they be corrupt and prosecuting them
if they are not. Yeah, Trump was demanding that Ukraine be corrupt, although they have not taken that bait. I mean, they have not done it up to this point. So, excellent points, Mike.
How stupid Trump is to go after Biden when the two progressives are outpolling him in combination a year and a half before the election.
Yep. Marilyn in Sun City, West Arizona. Hey, Marilyn, what's on your mind today?
The Biden swap with witnesses. Mm-hmm. And NBC News came out with an op-ed a couple of days ago or last week that said that they're not sure that that couldn't backfire, because even though they could make that swap on paper, the White House doesn't have to agree to it, and the White House could maybe drag it through the courts, and it
Yeah, I get that, Marilyn, but here, keep in mind, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is presiding over this, and this was part of Chuck Schumer's speech this morning. He said that if the president asserts executive privilege on any of these witnesses, you know, specifically they were talking about Mulvaney and Bolton, if he asserts executive privilege, the Chief Justice the next morning can go back to the Supreme Court and say, we're going to expedite this, we're going to hold a hearing on this right now, we're going to rule on this this afternoon, and boom, it's done.
Because he did say that Bolton would be... pulling the national security problem card.
Yes, I agree. And the other point that I would make is, you know, there are people, one of the arguments that I've heard and that I've read, actually, is that Biden and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden should not testify in the, before the Senate because they might be smeared or there may be something in their past that could be misconstrued, even if everything is wonderful, and therefore it would hurt his chances in the election. If there is anything like that, it's already going to be used in the election. I guarantee it, 100%. And so we should learn right now, if he's going to be so vulnerable that he could be taken down by Trump in the general election, he should not be our nominee. And if he's not that vulnerable, we should get that out right now.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
You are listening to the program where despair is not an option. Join us. Get out there. Get active. You can go from counting wrinkles to counting compliments on how great you look this year. You know, with every passing year, we all look older, but that's all changed thanks to Plexiderm Rapid Reduction Serum. It's magic in a bottle. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under-eye bags in minutes. Simply apply this powerful serum to problem areas, and within minutes, voila, a new younger you. And the best part? No surgery or Botox. It's all natural. Simply put, I'm blown away by the results. Ring in 2020 with Plexiderm for smooth, younger-looking skin in minutes. And it goes on clear, so nobody even knows you're using it. Leave your under-eye bags and wrinkles behind with Plexiderm. Go to Plexiderm.com and use my code Hartman, with two N's, for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. That's right, half off plus an extra 10 bucks off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-741-7998. Again, that's 1-800-741-7998. Or visit Plexiderm.com today and use the code Hartman at checkout. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us. He is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, the big cheese of the progressives in the House of Representatives, along with Pramila Jayapal. He also represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin, and his website is pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. Congressman, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom. So glad to be here.
So glad to have you. I'm curious your thoughts. Number one, if I could just throw a couple things out to you. Number one, I understand that there's a possibility of some movement on legislation that both Barbara Lee and Ro Khanna are proposing coming up in the House. Number two, I'm curious your thoughts on the impeachment inquiry. My personal opinion is that they need more theater and less legalese, but whatever. Although I thought that Adam Schiff, I thought everybody did a brilliant job yesterday. And then number three, I understand you endorsed Bernie Sanders last week.
Earlier this week, I was in Nevada doing a little work on behalf of Bernie's campaign. I'm going to be going to Iowa Saturday and Sunday. I voted for Bernie 4 years ago, but I didn't endorse anyone. Part of our strategy was to try to make sure all the candidates would have progressive policies in 4 years ago. I don't know how much we accomplished what we wanted to in doing that and by not endorsing. So this time, I wanted to get out there early. My values are very closely aligned with both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, but more with Bernie Sanders when it comes to defense spending, stopping endless wars, trade policy, a number of things. Bernie and I, very, very close. We've done a couple major pieces of union legislation together. I think places like Wisconsin, when he ran in 2016, he won 71 out of 72 counties. That's what we need to do across the country. You know, 3 out of 4 young voters voted for him, 3 out of 4 independent. So I'm glad to be out there and being a surrogate for Bernie. On the trial, you know, I think you're right in some ways. A judge I know I talked to and said, if these were jurors and this person used to be an experienced trial lawyer who are actually listening to it, probably not the most exciting. A lot of time trial attorneys know how to be a little more interesting in delivering the message. I think what really stands out to me, though, Tom, is the fact that they're chronologically putting this all together, all the facts in one place instead of spread out over days and days and days. And I think it might be a little bit more digestible to put out there, and I'm hoping that happens. And something for people to know is the team that's defending the president, they don't even have to tell the truth because there's no recourse for that. So when you see some of the stuff that's said by president's counsel and it seems not true, it's because it's not true. That's because there is no, it's not like a trial where you'd be held in contempt or some other ruling against you for doing. In this place, it's just part of the...
And they get to speak last, right? I mean, after the Republicans make their rebuttal to the Democrats, is there an opportunity for the Democrats to rebut the rebuttal or not?
You know, I don't know that offhand, Tom.
I
know that, you know, our big thing really is if you don't have witnesses and you don't allow any information into the trial, and you saw the most recent document was almost completely redacted, that's not a trial, right? Any real person who's watching this, I think, continues to realize if you're innocent, if someone accuses you of a crime, and you have a witness that can say you're innocent, you would have that witness testify because you need that. And in this case, it's just the opposite. The president doesn't have anyone. So I think that'll come through that process. But let's hope we come out of this and we see some senators show some independence. But right now, I'm not seeing that. And then finally, next week, we'll be back in the House. This is a week we're in district. There are a couple measures that are going to be coming up, probably attached to another bill. But they're going to be repealing the 2002 AUMF that Barbara Lee has been trying to do for a very long time. This was the main reason that the White House said they could do what they did in the assassination of an Iranian leader in Iraq. Just because the 2002 AUMF mentions Iraq, that's good enough. You can do anything there. Mm-hmm. Clearly, that wasn't the intent. It was done at a time of Saddam Hussein and other things. And then also, Rokana has some legislation to stop any funding to go towards any war with Iran. And because of that, I think those two measures should be going through the House next week. And I think that'll be important, especially given what the president did a few weeks ago.
Amen. Okay, let's pick up some phone calls.
Sure.
Rob in Waconia, Minnesota, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Congressman Pocan. Thank you very much for endorsing Bernie Sanders. And I had originally called in earlier, but you might find this interesting. I was just wondering if you and Tom were aware that the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists have moved the doomsday clock closer to midnight today.
Yeah, it's 100 seconds as of this morning, as I recall.
As of this morning, it went from 2 minutes down to 1 minute and 40 seconds.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, clearly with what's going on with Iran, when we got rid of our deal to make sure that we wouldn't have nuclear weapons, that didn't help. And, you know, all the presidents, you know, catering to the dictator in North Korea has certainly not provided any results. So we're not in a good place. And actually, one of the things you're going to see if the president were to be reelected, and you'll likely see in his budget this year, is he wants more nuclear weapons. And again, completely the opposite of what we want. So I certainly understand why that would happen.
Dee in Seattle, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi. I just want to say, can we just call it out like it is in reference to Trump's behavior? For example, they want to have Joe Biden's son testify. But then in that case, let's bring in Trump kids because they couldn't even get a security clearance without the special interference. But also regarding the basically Trump is trying to Tanya Harding or kneecap Joe Biden by having them announce there's an investigation similar to what Comey did to Hillary before the election. And let's just call it out. Just say it. I just a lot of people are looking for simple explanation. For example, I know I said this joke before, but how much does a Trump hotel cost in Turkey? Kurds. That's the kind of country we're at now. Right. It's what's good for that corporation. We're spending $500,000.
So, Dean, what's your question for Congressman Pocan?
Can you encourage the Democrats to speak more like Joe, the regular Joe on the street, and just call it like it is?
Okay, use got it. Thank you, Dee.
Yeah, Dee. No, I appreciate your comments. In fact, I'm a journalism major, and we're taught to write at an eighth grade level. You want it to be the most widely understood. And I think sometimes whether it's quid pro quo or some of the language that we use isn't maybe the most effective way to deliver that message. Now, I think the intention of the managers was to show law enforcement and military personnel from every perspective and why, withholding support to Ukraine was important. And I think they're delivering that message well, but I hope that as we're all out there talking about this, we are using the most simple possible terms. I mean, what the president did was illegal. Unfortunately, the Department of Justice, the person that Donald Trump appointed, won't prosecute a sitting president, so the only recourse we have is impeachment. And then you talk about the crimes, and there are crimes that the president did. And when you talk about that, we need to be as simple-spoken as possible in getting that message across.
Lisa in Hubbard, Oregon. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
I was just wondering, I know that decorum in the House and Senate doesn't probably allow for this, but when the Republicans are lying, why couldn't we raise a folder or a piece of paper like a flag and then everybody would know they're lying? Right?
Joel Walsh yelled out, "You lie," to Obama. It's a good question, Lisa. Congressman?
Yeah, so Lisa, the parts I've watched, and I've got to admit, I wasn't watching long stretches of this. It's difficult, right? It's a lot of hours of what's going on and a lot of things that especially I've heard during the first part of the impeachment trial. But if you notice, they're usually focused on whoever's speaking, and you see maybe a few people around them, but you don't really see the Senate or others. So even if that would happen, that wouldn't necessarily be seen. I just think we need to call it out. I know that he's up to, 16,000 lies, according to media source the president is, but when it comes to this, it is pretty fascinating that his counsel can just go up there and say something that's an outright lie, and there is no recourse through this process. So again, I think we need to be sure that we're highlighting that, because they're trying to again focus it on being one phone call, focus it on the Democrats trying to overturn an election they don't like. We just need to make sure that we're getting the right points out there, and again, the public is really understanding this. The president's not winning. If you're afraid to have anyone be able to testify and you can't provide any documents that you admit you have, that is the actions of a guilty person. And real people understand that, even if people inside the Beltway don't, people across the rest of the country do.
Joan in Nashville, Tennessee, you are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
I want to put this on the radar of the House, and that is this dangerous space force that was allowed in the NDAA and given to Trump. It's tied directly to the massive installation of over 42,000 5G satellites that can be used as microwave weapons, and it is already starting to cause a space arms race. France announced that they were going to jump in and send up satellites that were armed with machine guns and lasers to protect their French satellites. So is there any way that we can get hearings on this Space Force, and it's tied to the 5G, the implementation of 5G around the world? And also, is there any way we can walk back the funding from the NDAA?
Yeah, so the first one's easy. I mean, you know, the number of committees that have jurisdiction could do that. Whether or not they will, I couldn't tell you, but you absolutely could do hearings on that. As far as walking back funding, because it's approved at this point, there's probably some of the funding that's going out. My hope is that, you know, should we elect a new president in November, that we could maybe revisit this issue, because for many of us, this was one of the goofier things that happened. And it's not goofy because goofy makes it sound like it's not a problem. As you're pointing out, there are some real serious potential repercussions of having a space force. My good friend Randy Bryce, who ran against Paul Ryan, had a great tweet one day when he put out showing they had the new uniforms and they had camouflage. And he's like, really? Camouflage in space? Like, there's so much that hasn't been thought of yet that I'm hoping not much will be created, and maybe we can get back to a point that we could repeal the creation of another branch of the military and try to see if we could do something a lot smarter.
Well, I think it's worth noting that the Pentagon had specifically asked if they were going to have another branch of service, that it be cyber war, because we are under attack literally every day. And
exactly.
Trump
real,
said no.
Right?
Yeah, and he put it as a space force instead because he thought it would be cool. I mean, he just thinks in TV terms.
Yes.
It's bizarre. Kino in Lakeland, Florida, our favorite Republican listener. Hey, Kino, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Okay, Congressman and Tom, good to be with you today. Listen, there is a plan, the Moose Herder Agenda, to get 20, it's a plan to get 20 senators, U.S. Republican senators, to join the Democrats and retire Trump. And today in my local paper, the Lakeland Ledger, they have my letter to the editor laying out the plan. And I wondered if the congressman could be aware of that and pass it to the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress, this plan to get 20 senators to join with the Democrats. If congressman could look that up on the computer and then spread it around Congress.
But you want to summarize it in a sentence or two, Kino?
Well, Amy Klobuchar would be asked to be the leader of the Democrat side of the coalition, and Mitt Romney would be asked to be the leader of the Republican side of the coalition to retire Trump. And
so a merger of moderates, as it were.
Excuse me?
A merger of moderates, as it were.
A merger of moderates.
Okay,
yes,
got
yes.
it. Okay,
and
let's get the congressman's thoughts on this.
The letter to the editor today, Lakeland Ledger. And so if people want to look it up online, but I hope the congressman can spread it, make a copy of it and spread it around that this is an idea to get 20 Republican senators.
And it raises a larger question, Congressman Pocan. Do you see any possibility that the Republican Party is going to go back to some rationality, not even Eisenhower rationality, like, you know, Bush rationality?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I don't know if I have an answer Kino's going to necessarily, you know, like either on this. I mean, obviously what you need is about 20 senators to do the right thing. The problem is you already have a number of them on record saying pre-trial that they weren't going to be impartial jurors, and even some of the folks in the last couple days have said that. I think this is already figured out, and one of the main reasons is most of these people still have primaries. Donald Trump is still wildly popular in the Republican primary, even though if that's not even close to a majority of voters, but they're all afraid for their own primaries, and they're not going to stand up to them. So whether or not we can find the four people we need to allow witnesses and some other things to vote with Democrats, that's, I think, probably the more realistic fight that's out there. But thinking that there's 20 Republicans, if they're not going to allow witnesses or information, I think is pretty unlikely.
Congressman, we just have 20 seconds to the hard break at the bottom of the hour. Are you seeing any movement among the Republicans in the House that you interact against Trump?
No. In fact, what's going to happen when November is done, and I think we won't have Donald Trump as president if we all get out there and get very active, they have to rebuild the political party that they have imploded themselves. They became a cult of a personality, and that personality is someone who will be found corrupt and will have lost. And it'll be interesting to see who comes out of those ashes and tries to reform a political party.
Yeah. What's amazing is you go back and read the old New York Times archives from the 30s, from 33 and 30, 32, 33 and 34, which I did when I was writing Crash of 2016, and they were accusing FDR of that, of being a cult leader, basically. It was amazing. Whole different times. Different times.
2020, a new year. It's the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/begin makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to more than 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes and finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlighting the top candidates so you never miss a great match. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/begin. That's ziprecruiter.com/BEGIN. ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And Lydia in Port Angeles, Washington, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, guys. I just was informed by Free Speech TV last week about a situation in Wisconsin with this sand, frack sand mining that's going on with silica sand they use to replace the empty cracks to let the gas come up through. What, anyway, you probably know about it. I'm very concerned because of, first, the explosive nature of the process to get the bluff on these agricultural lands where cows were happily grazing, and now they're breathing in this silica dust. And then they use this horrible toxic slurry to separate out the grains of sand to remove the clay and whatever. And then, you know, they're using tons of water to do it. And so the Amish people and the Ho-Chunk Nation tribe, I think it's called, in northwest Wisconsin, they are fighting it because the gas companies are coming in and trying to buy the rights to this terrible process. And so I'm just hoping that you can do something about it and raise awareness.
Yeah, Lydia. So unfortunately, this has been going on for a number of years in Wisconsin. We don't have anything to pull out of the ground as far as fossil fuel resources, but we have the perfect shaped sand for fracking, and it's been leaving the state for the last, boy, I would say at least 8 years, taking up lots of land. There's been a lot of local fights controlled largely at the state level, but unfortunately Scott Walker was governor during most of that time, and that was really allowed. You know, just another problem, Lydia, is that so many rail cars were filled with sand, and they were paying a premium to get that down to where they needed it for fracking, that we couldn't get things like agricultural products out of Wisconsin on train cars. We couldn't get some of the coal for power plants in, and we couldn't get some of the resources, trees for paper and other products in and out. So we had another real problem because of it too, but unfortunately Scott Walker allowed mining and other things pretty aggressively when he was governor. I think now they have found some other places for sand, so I'm not sure if we're as high up on the list as we used to, but for a very long period of time, we were front and center in that fight.
That's remarkable. I had no idea. John, yeah. In McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Now, how come the Democrats aren't talking about the hyperinflated stock market through the Federal Reserve buying up all these, the bond market, pumping in trillions of dollars since mid-September through quantitative easing, through stock buybacks? The Federal Reserve has a seat on Wall Street not too many people know about, where they're buying up all the stocks. And if you look up the definition of what causes hyperinflation, that's exactly what the Fed's doing right now. The Democrats are silent on this. And one last thing, you really want to impeach Trump, why don't you get him on all the lies he's told to the American public? He's told over 15,000 lies since he's been sworn into office. So I'd like to know your answer, why the Democrats are being silent on all these issues.
Yeah, first of all, John, I just disagree with you. I don't think they're being silent on all the issues. I think sometimes those are easy ideas to put out there, but with the difficulty is, I think you saw through the impeachment process, is no matter what you try to impeach on, and a lie isn't a crime, so we're actually going after crimes
which is what the definition of impeachment is, it's still, if he doesn't allow witnesses to give us documents, it takes years to get that kind of information, which is why we were able to move very quickly, because we got some information on what happened in Ukraine, and we acted on that. But there are certainly six committees that are looking at lots of things that he's doing. Problem is they've been stonewalled by this White House, and it's a long, long, long legal process to get those documents. So I think that's a big concern. And secondly, I think what most real people, voters, care about Wisconsin, places like Wisconsin that you got to win in order to win, most people don't have their money invested in the stock market, but they're worried about their wages and do they have a good family-supporting job? Do they have apprenticeship programs for people? Can they get higher education? So all the various levers that get you a good-paying family-supporting job. And, you know, Donald Trump promised a lot of people in places like Wisconsin, where we've lost a lot of jobs because of bad trade deals, he was bringing American jobs back. Some people gave him the benefit of the doubt, voted for him on that, and he did lie on that. That lie will cost him plenty, because I think that's why Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania can definitely go back to the blue column. I even think we can take Iowa with us based on some of the things the president's done there. But I think it's talking about those kitchen table economic issues that people talk about daily in their homes are the issues we need to be talking about moving into November.
Adam in New Orleans, Louisiana, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Is there anything that GOP senators can do that is not political suicide for the entire party? There doesn't seem to be any path for enlightened self-interest to assert itself. I mean, it literally is the party at risk.
Yeah, Adam, I agree with you. I think there's incredibly short-term thinking, and the thinking is largely based on people who have Republican primaries in the next several months, and they're not going to ditch him in the next several months. So they are bound by this attachment to every one of his actions and lies, and they're not seeming to be willing to separate from that. We've certainly seen that in the House of Representatives, and I think you're going to see that with this Senate trial. And I think they're going to have to pay a long-term price for it. But right now, in the short term, they just want to get through their primaries. Their main focus seems to be just survival at that point, and they'll deal with things later. But that is incredibly short-term thinking, and I think it's going to cost them plenty come November.
Reginald in Houston, Texas, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
You know, we're just coming off of celebrating Martin Luther King's holiday here when he was speaking on April 4th, Beyond Vietnam, which I thought it was a prophetic message when he said that we spend more money, we shouldn't be spending much all the money on military, and we'd be using it on a poor people's campaign and to take care of that. And also, Eisenhower spoke on a military-industrial complex being our weakness. And here we go. We just passed a $737 billion Pentagon spending budget, and Bernie Sanders stated, along one of the representatives in Congress, that we should hold up passing that. Same time we were talking about impeachment, we passed a $737 billion war spending bill. We took money away from social services, from housing, that could go for Medicare for all, that could go for a lot of other social services. We cut food stamps. Why are we increasing that? As Tom stated, from 2000, year 2000 to now, from 200,000 to 737 billion. Why did the Democrats who hold control of Congress, why didn't they hold that up and fight to get some of these bills passed instead of passing that war spending budget that had $100 billion or $10 billion discretionary spending in there for wars that may happen? We are enablers, and why didn't we stop that? While we're talking about impeaching, that should have been something that could have helped us, the poor people in America, from going around annihilating other countries by not passing that war spending bill. And how did you vote on it?
Thank you. Reginald, first of all, let me say I agree with you. I was one of only eight Democrats who voted against it coming out of the House. Barbara Lee, myself, the squad, Earl Blumenauer, and Adriano Espelot.
Earl Blumenauer.
And then I think...
Right,
pardon?
Right. Earl Blumenauer, he represents Portland. That's great.
Yeah, and he's outspoken on a lot of issues around nuclear weapons in particular, as well as other issues.
God bless
him. Then by the time we got to the full floor, the compromise that came back, because there were some good things that went in with it. The problem is that's a 20% increase in 3 years at a time of peace. That's ridiculous, right? One of the problems, Reginald, that occurred before I came to Congress was a sequester bill that will run out by 2021. but that tied defense and non-defense discretionary spending together. So if you wanted to put money into healthcare or education, you had to also put money into defense. It was a terrible idea. It was done because budgets weren't passing. But it's finally clocking out, and I have had some people say that that was part of their rationale, was that you would otherwise block funding for things that we do value. I think we need to keep our eyes very focused on that next budget where we can finally disconnect that, because I completely agree, 20% increase in defense spending in 3 years at a time of peace is utterly ridiculous, and those dollars can be spent in a much better way.
Keith in Garden Valley, Idaho, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
I get a lot of emails asking for money. I'm a very small donor. My question to Congressman is, if I give money to the Progressive Caucus email, does that mean that part of that goes to the DNC? In the past, I've not gotten any from the Progressive Caucus per se. You know, it usually says DCCC, or it says, you know, it's from one of the Congress people, right, or something. But this actually says Progressive Caucus. So does that go just to them without any tip or anything going to the corporate Dems?
Yeah, Keith, that's an excellent question. Let me try to lay it out this way. So all of the entities are separate. So DNC is a Democratic National Committee, separate entity that's doing fundraising on behalf of the Democratic Party. Groups like the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, is the arm of the House Democrats. There's a parallel arm on the Senate Democratic side. Then there are caucuses like the Progressive Caucus that Pramila Jayapal and I co-chair that are completely separate from all of those entities I've mentioned. We endorse candidates that are progressive candidates. We have, an eight-page questionnaire before we make those endorsements, and that goes to supporting those candidates supported by the Progressive Caucus. In some cases, a Progressive Caucus doesn't get involved in all races, but we do try to find the best candidates in the best districts that we can get behind. We do have a vote of the full Progressive Caucus. So it is a separate entity, but I think it's a great question, because people do often, especially with the DNC and the DCCC, they're not the same entity. Each one's its own entity, and you're smart to be looking at that bottom part of any email. If you've never heard of the group, there's probably a good reason maybe not to be looking at giving money. And if you have heard of the group, make sure what they're spending it on. And I hopefully that answered to what you're looking for.
Great. David in Sarasota, Florida, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Would you support or write a law that was saying that no further uses for Social Security money except for Social Security, and no further tax breaks for the rich and corporations till the money is paid back that the government has used for other purposes?
Well, David, I would actually say something even more aggressive. I think when it comes to the tax bill in particular, we should be repealing those tax benefits that only the wealthiest are going to get. I think in just about 7 or 8 more years, 86% of the money is going to go to the top 1%, incredibly lopsided. We just need to stop that from going any further. It's putting us deeply into debt and not benefiting the vast, vast, vast majority of Americans. So let's just say not anymore. Let's just say let's repeal and get that money back so in the future we're not continuing to offer that. I do forget the first question. I apologize. But
I think he was operating under the assumption that Social Security funds are being used for other purposes. I don't think that's the case. I think they're quarantined.
Yeah, no. And in fact, many times, I think our big concerns are, I think the Republicans use that talking point because some money from Social Security was used with the Affordable Care Act, but it was money that provided savings to Social Security. So it was no funding coming out. It was sort of a swap of funds because of other savings affiliated with the ACA.
Yeah. And sometimes the Republicans say because Social Security invests their trust fund in treasuries that they're loaning their money to the government. Well, it's just the safest place to put it.
No, and Donald Trump's the guy who said he wants to go after things like Social Security and Medicare at the end of the year.
Yeah, he said that yesterday. It's amazing. Yeah. It's just amazing. John in Minneapolis, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
I think that administratively, a lot of these agencies are making bureaucratic law that is politically favorable toward, the Trump administration take on how these agencies should be run. And I think Medicare is one of them. And they have a lot of, power to do that, and also to set one group, age group against another, and give, say, benefits, more benefits to one age group as opposed to the other, because they've made the whole system so confusing that, you know, maybe Social Security Works keeps, you know, a track of this, but I don't think that Congress is necessarily keeping track of it because, you know, they're so invested into the, which they should be, into the impeachment trial. I think a lot of this stuff goes, you know, goes by.
Trump last year, Trump's Social Security Administration, allowed the private for-profit companies that offer the private for-profit Medicare Advantage plans, where you can get into real trouble if you get really seriously sick, allowed them to add things like vision and dental and rides to the doctor and stuff like that. And they're advertising like crazy because these plans are very profitable. And it's hurting Medicare badly. I mean, Medicare has lost a third of its, quote, customers since 2005 when the Bush administration first authorized this. Congressman?
So John's first kind of 30,000 foot, if I can, absolutely, we're seeing this across all agencies, right? They're implementing President Trump's policies. We've seen this on Department of Labor in how people are trying to fight to have labor union elections. We've seen this in Department of Education with how Betsy DeVos has operated and across the board. So there's no question when someone has the White House, they have an enormous amount of power, whether it be executive action or agency action, to influence things that go outside of the legislative process. So there's no question. To his very specific question, I think you're right. Social Security Works, Alex Lawson does a great job. I'd go to his site and take a look. But you're right, Tom, on the issue you bring. I think my mother, we found in the very same situation, and she can't get now some of the more basic things covered by Medicare because she went and did one of these other plans, but she's 90. And, you know, they tell you what they're going to save you, and yet you don't realize what you're missing by doing some of those plans. And I think, should we get a Democratic president, we have to have a serious talk about those.
Yeah, amen. Chris in Oakland, California, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Congressman, I'd like to ask you if you can speak to some of the challenges you encounter when attempting to find a compromise between trying to find ways to craft legislation to address long-term issues in an age when we live in such a partisan, governed by crisis, environment, and some of the conflicts you find in that.
Yeah, Chris, I hope I'm answering your question correctly because the long term, I think, in any term, to me, in many ways, it's the same way, is it's many of the skills you learn, quite honestly, at about fourth grade level. Is, when you talk to people and you find out what you have in common rather than what you don't have in common, you have a basis to have the rest of the conversation. And, I've done this my entire, I spent 14 years in the state legislature. Now I'm going into my eighth year in Congress, before that local government. And I've always found that even people you may disagree with on many issues, if you find out what the basis of where you are on any given issue, and you find out what you got in common, you work off of that and you go from there. And I've watched Bernie Sanders bring in, Senator Lee from Utah on the Yemen and bring in a coalition that tried to stop the war in Yemen. You know, it's those sort of qualities, I think, for some of us who've been around for a long time and done, that is important, So I try to not look at every Republican as, the enemy, and I know some folks do that, and I don't think that serves us the best. I may strongly disagree with them. Some people I may think are not the best legislators, but if you have to work with folks, you better find out how you can take their values and relate them to your values so you can convince them to go the right way, and we do that quite a bit on the Appropriations Committee that I serve on. So I hope I answered it, Chris, but that truly is my perspective. It's fourth grade skills. Find out what you have in common, work off of those rather than the other way around. It's really easy to find out what you don't have in common with people.
Bill in Plano, Texas, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
I was wondering if you have any knowledge or aware of the activities of a group called Judicial Watch that is apparently going around the country filing lawsuits and attempt to try to have people stricken from the voter rolls. I'm just wondering if you are aware of those activities and have any ideas how we might deal with that. I know that, is there any program or campaign underway to oppose this organization?
Generally to oppose voter suppression.
Yeah.
Judicial Watch is based out of Florida. It's a right-wing group.
Right. And I think, I mean, probably the premier organization doing that work right now is the Eric Holder's Group, and I'm forgetting the name of it offhand, Tom.
They've
been doing amazing work around the country on everything election related, whether it be ability to vote, redistricting, and other issues. So there is a good counterforce, and President Obama is very involved with that organization as well. But interestingly, I was away for a few days, and I got home last night, and as I was opening mail, I got an outrageous piece of mail that I got to figure out the organization who sent it out. It was telling me that somehow my voter registration, there's people at my address who are registered who shouldn't be or something like that, and they're trying to get information, and I got to look into it. But you're going to have a lot of scams going on, especially in an election year. So I think, you know, listening to Tom's program as he brings up this, because, you know, so many times we've had conversations around voting rights on this show, and out of these conversations, we've introduced bills to go after the interstate cross-check and other things. I'd say just keep raising them with Tom, and we will figure out as these things come up this year how to address them.
There you go. Thanks so much for being with us today. The work you guys are doing is so important, and you do it so well. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thanks to all the listeners.
Congressman Mark Pocan, his website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. Give him a shout-out and say hi. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus and represents the state of Wisconsin.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
So would you like to watch the Tom Hartman program, all 3 hours of our program, anytime you'd like? Patreon.com, patreon.com/Tom Hartman, Tomhartmann, all run together. When you become a supporter of the program through Patreon, you have access to the full 3-hour show anytime you want, and special content that we put up every single week that is unique specifically to our Patreon page. So check it out. Patreon.com/Tom Hartman. Thank you.